Sponsored by Sheila and Rami Afellan family, in memory of Reb Zev ben Azriel Afel Zalem, by the Nussbaum family of Paramus, in memory of Achav Shmuel ben Achav Meizal. I want to speak about a specific topic in terms of Chasporim. That's the issue of Mechila b'Shalachmanas. What is the halacha if a person gives Shalachmanas, and the person who is supposed to receive the Shalachmanas decides that don't do me any favors, I got 500 Shalachmanas, I don't want to be mostly loud and all the different events that go on the shul. I came downstairs, I couldn't get in because there were so many Shalachmanas in the way. So what's the halacha if the one Shalachmanas that I want to be yaitzei with, the person is Mechil, I cannot fulfill the mitzvah now. So we're going to see this issue is really a dual shalach. It's a Shalachmanas related issue, and it's a Mechila related issue also. So some of the issues we're going to talk about are specifically Purim, and others of them relate to Kol Tarakula. So the first, the Ma'amar Kamot, is a Ramah, the Siman Tov Reish Tadihei in the Chos Purim. It says there, it's called Shulchan Aruch, it's called from the Ramah, V'im Shalech Manos L'Re'ev Hu Eina Rotsu L'Kablon, O Mochalo Yotso. It's a Ramah passing that if a person wants to give Shalach Manos to somebody and the other person refuses, the person is Mochal, so then technically speaking on the Yaitu the Mitzvah. The question is, should that be true or should that not be true? So the way this is usually presented is really based on the Chassam Sofer, But this Sakh of the Ramah really is a fundamental question as to what the nature of the Mitzvah of Shalach Manos is all about. There are two different presentations that are given in the earlier poskim as to why is it that the Chacham instituted Shalach Manos. What's this Mitzvah all about, Mishloach Manos Yisrael, that appears in Megillah? Why is this? So Shumas Hadeshit writes that this is based on Sudas Purim, that the idea of Mishloach Manos is to ensure that everybody should have a Sudas Purim. So how do we know that this is true, that Shalach Manos is related so directly to Sudas Purim? So the evidence is even before the Shumas Hadeshit that idea exists. That's based on the Rambam. The Rambam in the second Imam Mekamot, in Uchus Megillah. So the Rambam defines Ketet Chay V'Suda Zu. How does a person fulfill the mitzvah of Sudas Purim properly? The Rambam gives you the basic criteria for Sudas Purim. Shiyochul Basar. So the first issue is that there has to be Basar. It has to be a Fleshik Suda. The Rambam says the favorite that you're not yet to Sudas Purim with the Melechiks, which is really the Rambam Shittas, because the Rambam holds you're not really yet to Simchas Yomtev for the Melechiks either. So Shiyochul Basar. The Yisakin Suda Noah Kafir Shatim to Yodo. And the Rambam's second condition is that it has to be a Suda Noah. It's not just a kid just grab, you know, a hamburger on the run or something, it has to be a Suda Noah with a nice meal to show the Yayin, and then the Rambam says you have to have Yayin also, and the Yayin has to be in the context of a Suda. This is clear, the Rambam Shita, that anyone who drinks Yayin out of the context of a Suda, so that's not really the mitzvah of Shtiyas Yayin, before the drinking of wine at night. We spoke about this, I think, a couple of years ago in Purim. The drinking of wine at night is obviously Shalosh Kedin, according to the Rambam, because the mitzvah of Suda's Purim has to be Bayom, so the Shtiyas Yayin has to be Bayom. Then the Rambam says, the Shosu Yayin has to be Shtachar, you heard the Meshichros, we spoke together, the Arichos about this in several Purims ago. The chayim, what interests us today, is the second half of what the Rambam says. The chayim chayiv adam l'shloch shtei manos ha-basar shtei b'nei tashlo shtei b'nei ochel ha-chavero shnema m'shloch manos ishmer e'ayu shtei manos l'ish echad. The Rambam quotes the din of m'shloch manos, interestingly enough, in the very same halacha as he's defining the mitzvah of Sudas Purim. That's what Eddie said, which is striking. The Rambam would clearly not write the din of Kriyas HaMegillah in the middle of the halacha of Sudas Purim. What does the Rambam define Hilchos M'shloach Manos as part and parcel of the Suda? So this seems to indicate to us that the Rambam is telling us the Yisod that the mitzvah of M'shloach Manos is really an extension of the mitzvah of Sudas Purim. What does that mean? It's an extension of Sudas Purim. How does my giving the Shalach Manos to somebody else? So the answer is the Rambam is probably part of the Shittaso, but the Rambam explains a little bit later on that the Ika Simcha is that you're supposed to share with others. So the Chachamim instituted Simchas Purim supposed to be fulfilled derech Suda. So that means as follows: I'm supposed to eat a Suda's Purim, that's my Ika Simcha for myself, and then I'm supposed to share that Suda with others. So other people who are mamish poor, so I'm supposed to give them a Tanas Levyonim. Even people who are not necessarily poor, but I'm supposed to make sure that everybody has their share in Suda's Purim. So the mitzvah of Shalach Manos is to be mechalek for my Suda to give to others. That's what the Rav thought, that the Ika way of fulfilling the mitzvah of Shalach Manos is those supposed to be after you eat your Suda. Usually not with the early knowing. Most people know that they give the Shalach Manos in the morning right after davening is finished, and they don't get to the Suda until 4 or 5 o'clock. The Rav thought that wasn't really the way the Rambam described it. The Rambam described you're supposed to sit down to your Suda, and then in your middle of your Suda, you're supposed to be cholik with Suda, you're supposed to give part of your Suda to other people. It's interesting, the Rav, again, I don't know if he was saying it a little kufa, that you're not yet to Shalach Manos the other way, but the way the Rambam seems to present Shalach Manos is an extension of your Suda, so the Pasha says you're supposed to sit down and wash and have your Suda first, and then as part of your Suda, spread it out to others. So the Shturmer, who has been saying from Adam Islam, the exact opposite of the statement. He says that that he thinks that a person is not supposed to sit down to this, until they've already given Shalach Hamanas. Why? Because the din is that you're not supposed to sit down to have a meal until you fulfill a mitzvah. Let's say when it comes to Zmanas Kiyah Shalach, you're not really supposed to sit down and eat lunch before you blow Shalach. You're not supposed to sit and eat a meal before you have a Maya. So the thing cool is that we have under certain circumstances. So Shlomach said for a person to sit down to Suda with not having already fulfilled the mitzvah Hayom is not correct. So just as you shouldn't sit down to your suit before you read the Megillah, and you shouldn't sit down to your suit before you gave Matanas Avyonim, so you shouldn't sit down to your suit until you already gave him Shalach Manos. So some of the rabbis respond to that this is very different, because here the Suras HaMitzvah is asked to be Mechalach Mishudah Fel. You can't come and say that it's inappropriate to eat first. But yes, that's what the mitzvah is, that's exactly what the Chazal wants you to do. You have to be Mechalachis and Akhlas HaLakhlas, and some wanted to argue that the correct protocol on Purim is Tavka to have the Suda first and then to give Shalach Manas, whereas others are arguing that the more correct thing to do is to give Shalach Manas first and then to sit down to your Suda. But this whole idea of the Tumas HaDeshen, that the idea of Shalach Manas is supposed to be to ensure that everybody has the Suda's Purim, this is really found, has a truth to some degree in the Sheet of the Rambam. And even though the Rambam does emphasize the connection between the Shalach Manas and Suda's Purim, there are others who took a different approach. It's quoted, we've been quoted from the Sefer Manas HaLevi. Manas HaLevi was written by Shlomo HaKabbas, the Baal HaChadodi. He was one of the Mekubalim who was in Tzfas at the time, so besides writing the Chadodi, he also wrote a Perish and Megillas Esther. So there's a Perish and Megillas Esther in Manas HaLevi, so he points out that he thinks that the reason why the Chacham instituted the Shalach Manos was for a different reason, that it was supposed to be Ma'ad Reyes and Klal Yisrael. Why that's the problem? Are we so interested in being Ma'ad Reyes and Klal Yisrael? But this is in contrast to the kind that Haman has. And Haman says that yesh no amecha v'fuzum v'fayr ben ha'amim, that the Jews are fighting, they can't get along, there's so much politics and everything. So the tikkun for that was lech knosos kalei hudim, and we'd have to go and get all the Jews together. That's what the time of Tzibur is the greatest demonstration of knosos kalei hudim. So when Chazal saw that even though the Tzor was over already, the Paisal had the issue already, so lest everybody fall back to their old ways, so what do? So we institute a special mitzvah to be ma'ar ba'av of yachra, mishol v'reyos, the mitzvah mishloach manos. So the purpose of mishloach manos was dafka to unite Paisal, not to divide Paisal. That's why sometimes it's very unfortunate. Sometimes the more fights break out after Purim, who didn't send you the rest of manos? But that's not what it was supposed to happen. What was supposed to happen was it was supposed to be Ma'ar Reyes Chukal Yisrael. So the Chassam Sefer writes in the Tshuva that he thinks that this child that the Ramah is raising, whether a person can fulfill the mitzvah Mishloach Manos on Yaday Mechila, he thinks ultimately should boil down to which is the correct aspect of Mishloach Manos that we're trying to emphasize. But if you hold like the Tshuva Tadash and like the Rambam, that the idea is supposed to be through the Purim, so says the Chassam Sefer, it's hard to believe he's going to be Yotzi, the other guy's Michael. And so the bottom line is, you have to give him something he's going to be able to eat. And if he can't eat, he can't eat Mechila. So you have to give him a Suda. So the din is that he doesn't necessarily have to eat what you give him. If I give a guy Shalach Manas and he chooses not to eat it, I'm still Yotzi the Mitzvah, but it has to be something which is a royal Lekachla Suda, that everybody agrees, so that's what many folks can have a Kateda, that a person is supposed to really give something which is Mechubah Lekachla Zay Suda, which is a big question. If a person gives a half a Hamitash and half a raisin or something, is that really Mishloach Manas? You want to give that to all your other extra friends, so that's okay. But in terms of one real bona fide Shalach Manas, the Pasha says that according to those who showed him, who emphasize the connection between Suda and Shalach Manas, that's really something which is at least some Shaykhus to a real Suda. So says the Chassam Sefer, if you hold that the nature of Shalach Manas is supposed to be Suda oriented, so then how can a guy be Michael? The Pasha is by being Michael, he's not going to have something for a Suda. But Sha'inkin, if you hold the second Malach of the Manas HaLevi, that the idea of Shalach Manas is supposed to be Mabar Reyes, so then I made a good friend already. I told him, I sent him this beautiful package, and he says that, thank you so much, but I only have another 25 packages, I don't really need anymore, give it to somebody else. So I expressed my raise to him, and he expressed his raise in return by declining politely. So everyone's happy. So comes the Chassam Sefer and says, he thinks maybe according to the Manas HaLevi, the Pesach of the Ramah can be understood. So the way it's usually presented in terms of Hilchos Purim, that's the Shalom. The Ramah's cooler, it can be Yotzei, the Mechila, should depend on these two different reasons for Mishloach Manas. But perhaps there's something more that's going on here. Perhaps there's something which goes way beyond the particular Halacha Purim, which really has to be Mevara in order to understand what another possible issue, whether Mechila should be acceptable. This is more of a Mechila issue, this is more of a Chosh Mishpat aspect of the Shia, rather than Orech Chaim aspect of the Shia. So the next to the Mar Mekomos, which will lead us to hopefully getting a little bit of a better understanding of what Mechila is all about, whether Mechila is really apropos from Shalach Manos, is a sugi that appears in Masechet Bava Kama. Rambam tells us, Tanya, the Nosem Pidyo Nafsho. I thought we had Chumash Pash Mishpat, we just read a few weeks ago. The Nosem Pidyo Nafsho, that if a shore, Mua, kills somebody, so the Chosik says, the Gamba Olav Yumas, that the Baal Mili should be Chayav Misa. So the Gemara says, it doesn't really mean the Baal Mechayav Misa, it just means the Chayav Misa B'day Shemayim. Because the Pasuk says in Kofi Yushas Allah, that the way to get out of this Chiyuv Nisim Bnei Shemayim is to pay Kofi. So the Pasuk says, nothing pidyon nafsho. You have to pay the pidyon, you have to pay the amount of the person's nefesh. So the Gemara says, what does the word mean? V'ral tam pidyon nafsho. It's an unclear statement. Nefesh of who? So the Gemara had a machlokes of the Rambam. V'ral tam pidyon nafsho. The main nizam. That refers to the value of the person who was killed. Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher, Rabbi Yechon ben Roikah, ain't the name mazik. No, but you have to pay the value of the mazik, the value of the owner of the shore. You have to chesed on how much I'm worth. There may be a very big difference between the mazik and the nizam. That was the machlokes of the Rambam. How much does the Torah require you to take kofra? So comes to the Gemara and says, what's the machlokes? What's the lamdash of machlokes between these two tanoim? Whether you play the name Nizak, you play the name Mazik. So the Gemara says, my love, Akhar, this Magi, maybe the Tanoim are arguing about the following the Kufr. It's one in Savi, the first time held, Kufra Mamona Hun. Basically, Kufr is a Tashmume Mamon. Tashmume Mamon in Allah always means that I'm paying back the value of what I caused you a loss. So let's say, for example, if I break your window, so you figure out the window costs $100, you have to pay $100, so that's obviously Tashmume Mamon. Well, if I steal something from you, so I have to pay you back that amount. You don't have to pay for a minute. I steal $100, I have to pay back $100. That's Tashlumei Mamon. If I borrow $100, you have to pay back $100. But I'm paying back is clearly corresponding to the damage or the loss that I caused you to incur. So that's considered to be the main, that's considered to be Mamona. So that's what the first time it says, the correct way of being Mishar, how much do I have to pay? So why did they say you have to pay the amount of what the person was? The person used to be worth, you have to be Shaman to edit the shuk to figure out how much was the person worth. If it's going, the price would have been $100,000, so that's what I have to pay. That's called the main music. So what does the other Tana say? Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher b'Yechon ben Breik yourself a kufra kapara. That he had an entirely different take on what's considered to be, what the nature of kofar is all about. The reason why I take kofar is not because I caused a loss of an individual, the monetary loss of an individual. If I break your window, I cause you a monetary loss of a window, you have to pay the value of the window. If I break your arms, I cause you a monetary loss of your arm, so then I have to pay for the arm. My shame came when I caused somebody else's life to be taken, so that you're ready, you don't put dollars and cents on that. That's not Dini Mamonis, that's not Mamona. So why does the Torah say I have to pay? That's a kapara for me. But the Torah says, Amchai Misa B'dei Shemayim, I did a terrible aveira by not watching my shore problems. I sure knew it, I knew it gored already 3 times, and I still wasn't careful, I did a terrible aveira. So I have to be mechaper. So there are different methods of kapara that the Torah gives. Sometimes a person does an aveira, the Torah says you get a kapara, you need a misa deizim to be mechata. Sometimes you do an aveira, a shogeg, you bring a carbon, it's mechata. And sometimes the Torah says you do a specific aveira, and the way to be mechata is to shell out some money. So that's what the other Tana says, that kufra kapara. So if kufra kapara, what that's basically saying is that the whole nature of the tashlum is fundamentally different. That I'm not paying because I caused the loss of the other person, I'm paying because I owe a Kiddush Baruch Hu something, because I have to be mechata in my nefesh. So, if I have to be mechaper, my nefesh, how should you be sized up? How much do they have to pay? So it makes sense to say they have to pay the mazik, because my tashlumin doesn't correspond to the loss that the yorshim no longer have the breadwinner in the family. That's a different part. The tashlumin that I have to pay is because I did an aveira, so then it makes sense that I have to pay the kofar, I have to pay the value of my nefesh. So the Gemara suggests in the Rambam that maybe this machlokes hatanoim, which seems to be at first glance just an innocent machlokes, the nizak, the mazik, how do you chesed it out, is really fundamental. It goes to the basic core of what the nature of kofar is all about. So at the end of the day, the Gemara says that is not necessarily the case. The Gemara says that it's quite possible that kofar is kapara according to everybody. So if it's kapara according to everybody, so why does some tanoim say it pays the main nizak? The Gemara says, no, the Beitam Sukkim, special Gersa Kofim, that even though it's Kapara, it makes sense that the Torah said the Kapara should be adopted as Nei Nizak, the technical Machlekes. So the Gemara really takes the air out of the whole Machlekes. The Gemara built up this whole razzle-dazzle Machlekes. You make Kofar is Kufa Kapara, Kufa Mamon, and at the end of the day, the Gemara says, nah, it's not really true. It's a very detailed Machlekes. So Tosus, a little bit later on in Baba Kama, raises the question in the context of that whole Sugya. Tosus wants to know that what is really the significance of saying that something is tashlumei kapara? Is there anything really critical? If in terms of dollars and cents, it's not really going to make a difference how much you pay, so why is it so important whether something is tashlumei mamon or whether something is tashlumei kapara? So Taisa suggests a whole series of nafkaminas, and one of the nafkaminas tells us, Yodi shloma the nafkamina ben dam lekofer, the dam of yachal limcho, the kofer in yachal limcho. Says Taisa that if I break your window, that's a tashlumei mamon. It's a regular tashlumei mamon. I cause your loss, I have to pay you back the loss. And let's say you choose to be Michael that loss. Of course you can be Michael. If I buy $100 from you and you want to be a nice guy and say, forget it, I'm Michael the Chol. Of course the Chol is Michael. It also says, whenever you're dealing with Tashlumei Mamon, of course the other guy can be Michael. What about Kapara? Is it shaykh for a person to be Michael Tashlumei Kapara? If the nature of the Tashlumei is fundamentally different than Mamon. It also suggests, maybe it can't be Michael. Let's say, who would be the Bible to be Michael? The Yoshim. Let's say, my short killed Ruvain. And now Reuben's Yarshim comes taking to the entire and days and sizes up, and I have to pay $100,000 in Tashlumei Kapara. And then the Yarshim said, you know what, forget about it, we're Michael on the Chov. So Tosfos says that statement is not really binding. Unless somebody needs not binding. If they don't want the money, they're not going to get the money. Let's say the next day they say, you know what, we do want the money back. So then they're entitled to take you back. So it's entire again. When it comes to Tashlumin moment, if I break your window, and once the Baal Din says, I'm Meichel B'chol, so Tosfos finish, he can't change his mind. B'chol is Meichel, Gemayno. Hashem Enkim, when it comes to Tashlumin Kapara, so Mechila is not Nitzvah, so it's not Chal. The whole notion of Mechila doesn't really make any sense when it comes to Tashlumin Kapara. That's what Tosfos suggests as a possibility. Where's the source of this idea? Is there any Gemara that says this, that Tashlumin Kapara, you can't be Meichel? So Tosfos brings a raya from the next to the Ma'am Chobos. So the Mishnah in Maseches Truma. The Mishnah tells us that what's the din of a Zar eats Truma. You know, a Zar not allowed to, it's a terrible affair to eat Truma, it's a free of meat of a dish of Mayim. What are the ramifications if he does it? So the Mishnah says as follows, the Eichel Truma Shogeg, the person eats Truma by mistake, the Shalom Keren the Chodesh, so he has to pay the value of the Truma, and then he has to pay the, a fifth as well. So the Gemara tells us that a fifth doesn't really mean a fifth, a fifth really means a fourth. We don't ever get fifth, third grade math, so that's, the Gemara tells us a very, very strange thing. That if I ate $100 worth of Truma, so I would think you have to pay $120 if you added a fifth. He must have known, you have to pay $125. Why? Because when you add the $25 to 100, so it turns out you have 125, it turns out that 25 was a fifth of the total of 125. That's called the Chumash in Halacha. So, strange, that's what the din is. So the Chumash says the favorite that if you eat Truma b'shayig, azari Truma b'shayig, you have to pay turn the Chumash. So the Mishnah says, echad ha'ochel, v'echad ha'shel, so it doesn't matter whether you ate the Truma, whether you drink wine of Truma, Yechad Hasach, or if you shmir oil of Truma, it's all considered to be eating. Echad Truma Tahora, Yechad Truma Tanea, all the dinim are the same. Mishalim Chumshua, you have to pay a fifth. Vichomish Chumshua, and then let's say you go ahead and eat a second time. You eat that stuff that you gave to become Truma, so then you have to pay another fifth in that. Eina Mishalim Truma, Elachulim Misukonim, Eim Nath in Truma, Batashlum in Truma. The Mishnah says when you pay the value of the Truma that you ate, so you don't pay with cash. Rather, you have to pay with fruits. So if they ate X amount of apples, they have to pay X amount of apples of chulin, and those apples will become truma biyat kohen. Gemara Dashnas and Fossils, the nothan la kohen is a kodesh. You have to pay the kohen, gabra royal yos kodesh. Now we come to the punchline of the Mishnah. In Ratza, kohen limcho, eno mochel. That if the kohen decides that he says, listen, don't do me any favors, keep the apples for yourself, so the kohen does not have a right to do that. That mechila is not going to be nitvas on tashlumei truma. So Tosfos in the Bakama, the only get part of the Tosfos, the Bakama says, how did Chazal know that? Where did that come from? That a kohen can't be Michael. If I break your window, you can be Michael. If I buy $100,000, you decide you don't want me to pay back, you can be Michael. So Marishtana, that a kohen can't be Michael, Tashlumei Truma. The Tosfos says, this is the answer. The answer is that Tashlumei Truma is not Tashlumei Mammon. Tashlumei Truma is Tashlumei Kapara. The nature of why I have to pay is not because I stole from the kohen. If you think about it, the kohen doesn't really own the Truma. There is no one particular kohen who has right to the truma. If I go ahead and I take my own truma and I eat it, so who did I steal from exactly? The answer is I didn't steal from anybody. And I will be chayne have to pay because I didn't have to pay. The Torah decrees that the method of kafara is going to be tashmumin. No, it's not. It wasn't even his kohen. It wasn't even his truma. Let's say I eat my own truma. I go to my own backyard, I'm offered truma, and then I go ahead and eat it. So I have to pick a kohen to give it to. So Tosfos says, the whole nature of Tashlumei Truma is such that it's not really a momentous type of a thing. There's no Baal Din to speak of. It's pure kapara. So, the Mishnah says, in Rata Kohen Limcho Enam Haicho, why not? See from here, you say this, is that when you have a Tashlumei Kapara, so it's not shy to speak about Mechil. The whole concept of Mechil doesn't make sense. But it really just begs the question. Tosfos said to Yisrael, the Gabe, the Chiv of Kofar, and then they brought a dug up a Mishnah in Truma that says the same thing, the Gabe Tashlumei Truma. The question is, why not? What is so fundamentally wrong with applying the principle of mechila in the moment of Tashlumei Kapara? What's the problem? What's the chisaron? So Rabbi Chanan suggests, yes, in the beginning of Rabbi Vass and Kodesh Yehuda, Rabbi Chanan suggests that maybe the idea is based on the following, that what is mechila all about? There's a whole Ramdash HaShaila about what the nature of mechila is, but it's quite possible that what mechila is basically what's called the siluk. Namely, I have a certain time against you. I have a certain chov against you. So I'm misalik myself. I pull myself out and I say, listen, I don't exist anymore. Forget about it. I'm taking myself out of the picture. So says Rabbi Chanan, when does Mechila make sense? If the Baal Dava can be misalik himself, that's when the nature of the Tashlumin and the Chopet HaTashlumin is Noveya from the Toveya. I tell my boys over in Shia, they like that phrase. It's Noveya from the Toveya. I have a claim against you. You broke my window. So I'm holding on to you. I have this Chov, which I'm able to grab from you. You owe me $100. If I'm the one who's calling the shots, I'm the one who has the claim against you, if I pull myself out of the picture, so nafla is so nafla dinyan. So the Taveya is misalik himself, So the Meila, the Chol that was Noveah from the Tavei, it's going to be Nesul. But the Meila, that's what the Chila means. When I'm the Baal Abbas, so I can be Moshal. Like Moshal Ma'ad HaVadome, there's a din, keep it out of the aim, that Rav Shemachal Kvod HaKvod HaMachal. There's a din in Kavot HaMidacham, Rav Shemachal Kvod HaKvod HaMachal. It means when the person who's the Baalim on the cover, like the father, he's the Baalim on the cover, he's entitled to demand cover from the children. If the father decides to say, listen, don't do many tithes, so he walks away, so he's massaged himself to the male. The Chol just falls by the wayside. So that's a bechana b'nezev amarun. That's true. That's when the chov is noveh from the taveah. But tashlumei kapara is so fundamentally different from tashlumei mamon in the following sense. The reason why I have to pay if I broke your window is because I caused you a hefted mamon. You have a sign against me. The reason why I have to pay kofar, if you hold that kofar is kapara, is not because I caused you a hefted mamon, not because I caused the yorshim hefted mamon, not because I took away their breadwinner. That's not what's mechayavi in paying kofar. What's mechayavi to pay kofar is my aver that did kafe shmaya. I did something wrong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I caused nebuch the death of somebody. So comes the Torah and says, if I did a terrible avera, the way for me to be mechaper in that avera is to pay kofar. You happen to be the lucky recipient of that kofar. The yorshim don't have a taina to get the kofar. The yorshim don't have to tov him of the kofar. The yorshim don't have to bali din of the kofar. They happen to be the method that the Turk would have just as easily said, take $10,000 and give it to Tzedakah. The Turk could have said that as a method of Kabbalah, but it didn't. It said, take $10,000 and give it to the Yarshim. But the nature of giving it to the Yarshim are passive, they're not active. They're not the Bailam on the Chol. So it says, Rabbi Chanan, that's the Yisrael. That's what's taking place over here. That's why Mechila doesn't work. It doesn't make any sense to have Mechila by Tashlumei Kapara, because the Chol is coming from the wrong direction. Only when the Chol is coming from the Baldin, from the Tavea, does Mechila make any sense. When the Chol is coming from the Nitva's vantage point, so then the whole notion of Mechila doesn't get off the ground. So not all Rishonim present this shot in the Mishnah. There is a second shot that's presented, which is given under the Rash, in the bottom of the Mamakomot, the Beit HaShimshon, in the front of the Mishnayos, in Maseches Trumas, on that Mishnah. So the Rash gives a different take on why the Mishnah says that you can't be Meichel Tashlumei Truma. Says the Rash, Eino Meichel, the Kevin the Gzeres HaKosavu, Shechayev L'Shalem, Dava Royal Yos Kodesh, the Ein Yochel Lifter Allah the Jamin. Says the Rash, there is a special Allah that we mentioned before, the Mishnah says explicitly, when you pay Tashlumei Truma, you have to pay a very specific way. You have to give fruit. You have to give something which is Royal Yos Kodesh. It's something which Allah says is a surah tashlumin. It's a very specific method of payment. You cannot pay cash. You give cash, it's not chal. You didn't fulfill the mitzvah. So says the Rash, since the Torah requires a special surah tashlumin, ein hadavat tala b'bailim. So therefore, the bailim don't have a say in the matter. The bailim can't declare that the chov is parua. Now the truth is, you could explain this Rash really in one of two ways. You could say that the emphasis of the Rash is the notion of surah tashlumin. Namely, what does Mechila mean? Mechila means that even if I pay back the chol, so if I break your window and you say, forget it, it's all right. So what you're saying in effect is, even if I gave you $100. So you could say, even if I gave you $100 in theory, but you can't say I gave you $100 worth of fruit. You can't turn Mechila into apples. And the Torah says that the Tashlumin has to have a very, very specific, unique method. It has to be dafka fruit. So Mechila from today to tomorrow, Mechila is not fruit. You can philosophize and say, we can make believe, use our imagination, and say that Mechila is even paid back. You might pay back dollars and cents, but you know that the dollar switch used to be in my checking account, now it's in your checking account. But in terms of saying that the words of Mechila were considered to be a tashlumin of fruit, were considered to be a tashlumin with a surah tashlumin, that's very, very hard to stretch. That's one possible way of reading the Rash. The other way of reading the Rash is that the Rash is not emphasizing so much that surah tashlumin, you can't be Michael, but that the Rash means to say is that since there's a surah tashlumin, since the Torah says you have to pay in a very specific way, that shows that it's not regular dinim mamon. That shows that it's not regular dollars and cents. And therefore, that like before back in Rabbi Chanan, ein adavat tala b'bailam, like the Rash concludes, that you're not the Baal HaBos. If you would really be the Baal HaBos, if the nature of tashlumei truma would be just to make good the loss that I caused this Mr. Cohen, who's representing the Shevet HaKahuna, if the nature would be just to be l'mal his chisaron, but my nafkamina, whether it's pay back fruit, whether it's pay back cash, it's all the same thing. And the fact that the Torah says I have to pay in a specific way, so that shows that the nature of the tashlumin is somewhat different. So there's different permutations of what the Rash means. But at the end of the day, what the Rash does say is that bottom line is there's no mechila whenever there's a surah tashlumin. So basically we have a Mishnah in Maseches Truma, which tells us, it's a given, everyone agrees to, that a Kohen cannot be Meichel Tashlumin Truma. That's an absolute given. But we have two different permutations, and then we show them why should that be so. So according to Tosfos, going to tell us whenever tashlumi kapara, so that's the end of the story, kapara you can't be ma'echol, using Rabbi Chanan's beer, because kapara the chiyuv is nobeah from the wrong person, then according to the Rashi's beer, that the real thing that carries the day is whenever there's a tzuvah tashlumi. So now taking this whole introduction to the sugya, now we have to come back to the original shalom terms of Mishloach Manos. Based on the tells of the Rashi, what should the din be when it comes to Mishloach Manos? If I go ahead and I bring you a hamantash and a bala wine, and you say, no, it's okay, I'm ma'echol, what should that lacha be? So l'chora, according to Tosfos, that should be a very big problem. That l'chora, l'chila really shouldn't work. Why? Because according to Tosfos, that l'chila doesn't work in tashlumei kapara. So remember we said from the chora, that's just not a zero to cost, and l'chila doesn't work. The longest is because l'chila only works when the chov is nafeh from the tazeya. When the baal din, he's the one who's calling the shot. Shein came, when my chov is not because of him, but my chov because I have a chov chav ishmael to do something. So who are you to be my chov? So let's go back to the lumdus of Mishloach Manos. What's the shah of Mishloach Manos? Shah is that you have a, you can take me to a din Torah for not giving you Mishloach Manos. Some people don't like to do that. You're going to come to me, scream Tarimus to me that I didn't give you Mishloach Manos. You have a taina and you give Mishloach Manos. Sugar. I said, I have a chiyuv to the Rabbanu Shalom. I have a chiyuv because it's state in the Megillah, Mishloach Manos is from Eder. It's a mitzvah to Rabban, a mitzvah to the Kabbalah to give Mishloach Manos. If you are the lucky guy who is the recipient of Mashloach Manos, matzah. And if you're not the lucky guy, so tough. You're not a bald dog. You're a zero. You're a lucha passive. When it comes to Mishloach Manos. So according to Tosfos, the same way that the Kohen can't be Meichel Tashlumei Tumah, because Tashlumei Tumah is a kapara. A kapara is not the emphasis. Kapara is just indicative of the fact that you're not the Bialim, that the Chiyuv is not Naveh from the Tazeh, the Chiyuv is Naveh from the Mishalim. So if Tosfos says that the Kohen can't be Meichel Tashlumei Tumah, because the Kohen is not the Balabas, because he's purely passive, he doesn't have a chov against me, that the makabel of Shalach Manos, who is he to be Meichel? The words don't make any sense. I bring you Shalach Manos. The Megillah says, Mishloach Manos is for Eil. So you're going to tell me that the makabel of Shalach Manos is going to get up and say in Beis Din, come in Meichel to Shalach Manos. Who are you? You're a zero. You're nothing. Your job is not to be Meichel Shalach Manos. Your job is not to be Tevei and Beis Din and Shalach Manos. Your job is to sit there with open arms and receive the Shalach Manos. You're supposed to be, like I say, at least to say from the Brisker up, that sometimes a gaver could be a chetzah. So over here, you're not supposed to be a gaver, you're not supposed to be calling the shots, you're not making decisions, and you're the recipient of the Shalach Manos, you're supposed to be the chetzah. So this way, I'm supposed to take the Shalach Manos and give it to you, and you're supposed to be the object, you're not supposed to be the subject of what's going on.
I think there's a little
bit. Okay.
Right, that same tells us that same tells us that in that very same tells us.
So why didn't you just say that letting, he's not about
maybe?
Maybe, I don't know, okay. I'm Michael, you can bring the shots of money, Anyway, get back to this, at least one possibility for that tells us, one could argue, yes or no, one could argue that going to tell us it's not shaykh to speak about Mechila, because Mechila by Kapara, the same chisar as Mechila by Shalach Manos, same as Mechila by Kapara. The Pashas is according to the Rash, it's always going to be a serious problem, because according to the Rash, what's the criteria? When do you define that Kapara is acceptable and when not? So the Rash is very simple. When there's no tzuras at Tashlum, like if I break your window, so the Halacha says, I can pay you back in any shape or form, I can give you cash, I can give you food, I can give you a land, I can give whatever I want, I can give you back. So when there's no specific tzuras at Tashlum, so then Mechila is also good. Mechila is like a form of paying back. Mashiach ain't came with the Torah or the Midrabanan, there's a very specific way of doing the Tashlum, so Mechila doesn't get off the ground. So when it comes to Mishloach Manos, it's a little bit of a very specific way. Let's say I want to give you $100 for Mishloach Manos, so that's not acceptable. I could be yotzei with food, it has to be royal achila. If I give you money, even though I give you a lot of money, I'm still not going to be yotzei. So look over, the Rash's reason should kick in here also, that according to the Rash, that you can't be mechat tashlumei tumah, because it's a tzuras at tashlumah, so Mishloach Manos, ein lecha tzuras at tashlumah, God only is there. So first of all, we're saying it should come out that the Ramah is wrong according to both opinions. Both according to Tosfos, not according to Rash. Mechila really doesn't make any sense by Shalach Manas. Might not demeanor between whether you go with the Tosfos Mahalach, whether you go with the Rash Mahalach. So I thought maybe the Chapanach Kanim or the Masamas Lev Yonim, that here the Ramah doesn't talk about that. Let's say I come to Masamas Lev Yonim, I come to my Evyon, and the Evyon says, you know what, I'm Michael, don't give me the Tzedakah today. So was I Yaita the Mitzvah Masamas Lev Yonim? So here, Mechola, this may very well depend on the different permutations, he tells the Rash. If you go with Tosfos Mahalach, that whenever the recipient is supposed to be passive, that he's not the player, so he's not the Bailam to be Michael, so the same is true by Masamas Lev Yonim. That's the same way that the Halach of the Kiveya, I have to give Mishloach Manas to somebody, and that person is supposed to be the recipient, he's not calling the shots. And the Mishloach Manas Lev Yonim is also supposed to be the recipient, he's also not the Bailam. So what's Shaykh to be Michael? I have a Chiyuv, Klape the Megillah, I have a Chiyuv, because Mordechai was Masakin, that every Jew has got to give Masamas Lev Yonim. So it's my Chiyuv, it's not your Chov. So my Chiyuv, I have to fulfill, you're not a Bailam, to be Michael on. Hashem, if you go along the lines of the Rash opposition to being Meichel Tashlumin Trumba was based on the technicality of Tzuras HaTashlumin, so here comes a little bit of a quirk, that by Matanos HaYom, there is no Tzuras HaTashlumin, only by Mishloach Manos at the Chan Minsatu, that it has to be Daska food, but Matanos HaYom, you do all the time, you're allowed to give him money, Mechatchila, Matanos HaYom. So it could be that, if you're going with the Rash's criteria, what constitutes Mechila, so in a certain sense, as strange as it may sound, that Matanos Lev Yonim may be closer to breaking the guy's window, whereas Mishloach Manos is closer to Tashlumei Kapara, to Tashlumei Truma. Because according to the Rash, the only question you have to ask yourself is there a Tzuras HaTashlumin or not? If there is a Tzuras HaTashlumin, Mechila is worthless. If there's no Tzuras HaTashlumin, then Mechila should be acceptable. So maybe this Shaila that the Ramah raises, that the Chacham Sofer suggested, was a firm issue with the Shaila of the Truma Kadesh and Manos and Levi's. What's the nature of Mishloach Manos? Whereas the Chacham Sofer limited it and put it just into the Purim definition, maybe it goes way beyond that. Maybe it really touches on Mechila of Kalatar Kuvah. And according to Bein Latos, Bein Larash, Mechila should really not work by Mishloach Manos. But the Chapan Afkamina between the two of them, whether Mechila will work from Matanos of Yonim. According to Tosfos, Pashas Mechila shouldn't work from Matanos of Yonim. But according to the Rash, Mechila it should. Just as a conclusion, just an interesting drush, now what is this all about, that the Chachamim instituted this mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, and specifically they go along the lines of the Kadesh and following the Rambam, the case of Chavah to the zoo, that Mishloach Manos is an extension of Sudas Purim, why is that? We have Sudas Shabbos also, we don't find that in Shabbos, you know, we go give Shalach Manos to everybody. So what was unique about Sudas Purim that required that Chazal wanted you to ask the Shia from the Sudas Purim and everybody else? So the Ksav Sofer writes in the last Shubi Yadim Rechaim, if I'm not mistaken, where he writes that he thinks it's based on as follows. What is really the Mechaib of Sudas Purim? Why is it that we go so out of our way to make a special Sudas on Purim? So the Gemara relates in the Zemek Tzachim, the Sudas Purim to another Sudas that we make during the year. That's the Sudas we make on Shavuos. The Gemara says that there was a Mechlekes HaTanoim, whether every Yom Tov you have to really make a big Sudas, or if you want, you can just sit and learn all day. Rabbi Eliezer said, Kul Hashem, you want to sit in the Mechlekes all day, sit and learn and daven. That's okay, and Rabbi Yeshua said no. Rabbi Yeshua says you have to eat also chatz lechem chatz l'Hashem. So the Gemara says even Rabbi Eliezer wasn't such a big believer in eating on Yom Tov. You're not mechutzit on Yom Tov if you don't want to. So Rabbi Eliezer was moided that there are certain times during the year when you have to have a suda. Two of those days that Rabbi Eliezer picked were one was Shavuot and one was Purim. The Gemara says manishtana these two that Shavuot and Purim. Even Rabbi Eliezer agrees you have to make a big fancy suda. So the Gemara says look what the pasuk on Purim you nishta to simcha. And the Gemara says by Shavuos, Avad and Avad, you have to make a Suda, because Yom Shavuot is Matar Yisrael. Because it's the day of Kabbalah Satorah, so Kabbalah Satorah, you can't just let Kabbalah Satorah go by just sitting and learning. You have to make a Suda. That's all the Darshanim want to know. It should be the opposite. If Yom Shavuot is Matar, you should be sitting in the day of Sedesh all day. That's a Shavuot time, maybe a few months down the line. But the Gemara does make the point of saying that somehow there is some kind of a connection between that Shavuot must get a Suda and Purim must get a Suda. So Saifa says, that perhaps what the Gemara means, even more than just that both of these days happen to require a Suda, that maybe the Suda is really the same type as a Chiyuv, because in a certain sense, Purim is also Yom Shavuot Abba Torah, because the Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos that in the days of Kabbalah Torah, the first Shavuot, so it really wasn't Mirata, and it wasn't fully B'leif Shalem, because Kafalim Hagigigigis, the Chayisol never really accepted it willingly. So when did they finally accept the Torah willingly? So Chazal Dash, Kimu V'Kibla Yehudim, that Harba Kibla B'Mechash Verosh, that the Gemar HaNeis of Purim wasn't just the fact that there was a Yeshua for Christ or a physical Yeshua, but the Gemara HaGavah, the mark of the passage of the celebration of Purim, is really that Purim becomes the new Kabbalah Satorah. That everything that we have with Manazah is because of that new Kabbalah Satorah that took place at the beginning of Ayashemi, that everything was accepted, HaDekid will be Me'achash Verosh. So if the whole demonstration of the Suda's Purim, the culmination of the Simchat Purim, is supposed to be this idea that we're trying to indicate that we accepted the Torah b'ratzon, we accepted the Torah b'lev shalem, the Chachamim wanted to have to incorporate into the Suda's Purim this demonstration that not only are we having a Suda, but it's a Suda that's being done to demonstrate that Kabbalah the Torah dafka b'lev shalem. He says the Ksav Sofer, says if you see a person who's sitting and drinking, they're having a little bit too much to drink, he says the Ksav Sofer, so why do you think the person is drinking? So people tend to drink for one of the reasons. So even the person is drinking because he's so miserable, he's so down, he's trying to forget all the sorrows. That's one reason why a person sometimes drinks too much. Or sometimes the person is drinking because he's so happy, he's making lechayev, he's having a party, he's so thrilled, such a good mood. So his drinking is enhancing his good mood. So says the Ksav Sofer, here you have a Jew sits down for the Suda's Purim, he's having his bus, he's having his yayin. And the question is, the outsider is looking and trying to figure out, so what's going on exactly? Why is this person taking a little bit to drink on Purim? Why is he eating so much on Purim? What's he trying to accomplish? So we say to him, because it's the day of Kabbalah Satara, hard to keep with Mechashverish. So then you have to stop, scratch your head and think, wait a second, okay. So here you just received the Torah, and now what do? You're drinking away. So what does that mean? Because you're so miserable that you're stuck with this Torah and never, look what you got. You got so many mitzvahs and learning, it's a terrible old. So the only thing I can do is to forget my misery is to go take something to drink, to go try to make myself feel better by having myself a good meal, just to forget all my Torah. That's one approach of looking at the Suda's Purim. Or you could say, wow, the Torah is so meridic, it's unbelievable that you're so besimcha, it's amazing, it's like, you're wishing everyone l'chaim, and you're so thrilled about everything. That's another way. How do you know? What's the litmus test? You see a Jew sitting down at the Suda's Purim, how do you know what his mindset is? How do you know whether he's wallowing in his misery? How do you know that he's dancing from joy? So says the Ksav Sofer, there's one simple test. The simple test is, does he share with others? Says the Ksav Sofer, if a guy is miserable, let me get drunk with myself. Don't bother me. Stay away from me. I don't want to share my misery. But if the guy is excited, the guy's happy. He just had a baby, so he's running around telling everybody. He's making lechayim with everybody. Says the Ksav Sofer. That's why the Chachamim dafka incorporated into Suda's Purim above and beyond any other Suda. You have to give Mishloach Manos. Why? It's a kiyum of the Suda. That the Suda's Purim without Mishloach Manos is lacking. It doesn't accomplish the trick. The whole yisoid of the Suda's Purim is supposed to be the celebration of Kabbalah Satara, not just Kabbalah Satara, it's supposed to be Kabbalah Satara Miratzon. So the way to prove that the Kabbalah Satara was Miratzon is to share the Suda with others. So your daf has to go out of your way and kate the chayvah to the zoo, spread that Suda with others, spread the goodwill with others. I mean, the Chana Sadi Yonah Moshe Ram says the key of spreading the goodwill with others, because that gufa is Magala, and what the Pneumius of Dvarim is, what the Suda's Purim is all about, is the celebration of this man of Kabbalah Satara, the Hadiki will do that. Ich habe eine Frage, 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 ich habe eine Frage